morning to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Our subject this morning I want to talk about is the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. I actually want to read verse 7 down to verse 13. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 to 13. The title of the message is Spirit of Fear. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We've thought about that verse many times, haven't we? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your help again this morning, and I pray it can be a blessing as we expound upon the word of the Lord that you've given us to share. And Lord, all of us sadly confess this morning that we deal with the spirit of fear. But Father, we know by your grace, Lord, that we can overcome any fears that come our way. I want us to understand, Lord, that you have not given us this spirit, that you have given us power, love, and a sound mind. And we pray in Christ's name, and amen. There's not a one of us this morning that have never had to deal with the spirit of fear. However, anytime fear seeks to raise its head, we answer it with the one thing that can truly overcome fear, and that is faith in the Lord. Someone said, "Fear knocked, faith answered," and no one was there. I like that. Now, while it's easy to say that we should not fear, it's not always easy, is it? Sometimes we fear things and we don't even know what we're afraid of. There's been times where we've just been afraid and people said, "Well, what are you afraid of?" And we said, "I don't know. I don't know. We're just afraid. We're just afraid." So, "Well, what are you afraid of?" "I don't know what I'm afraid of. I'm just afraid." And so, it's a spirit. It's a spirit of fear. If we took a survey of what are the things we fear the most, there would be the typical first things at the list. Probably the things that we fear the most is losing our loved ones. I think that's our greatest fear. That's what Job said after he had lost, you know, everything he had, but I think more particularly in regard to his children, when he lost his children. Job said this, he said, "The thing that I feared most has happened to me." And no doubt that's the greatest fear of any person, of any parent, is to lose their children. So losing loved ones will be at the top of the list of fears. But we fear more than that. We fear disease. We fear in our everyday life. We fear what people think. We fear what people say. We fear what could happen. We fear what may not happen. We fear, did I do that right? We fear, what if I did it wrong? We fear, what if they don't like me? We fear, what if I don't like them? What if it doesn't work out? Or I wonder how they feel. Do I feel right? I mean, we can go on and on with different types of fears. It's a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of fear. Now, fear will paralyze us. Fear will paralyze us and cause us to do nothing. It was the man who had, I believe, an improper view of his master, who thought his master was one to be feared in a very wrong way, in the way he was looking at him. He did nothing. He buried his talent. So fear will paralyze us. We can be so afraid of messing up, we do nothing. We can be afraid of being misunderstood, and so we do nothing. We can be afraid of failure, so we do nothing. We can be afraid of ridicule, so we do nothing. We can be afraid of shame, so we do nothing. We can be afraid of being hurt, so we do nothing. We can be afraid of hurting, and so we do very little. That's not that we shouldn't be thoughtful or considerate, but we cannot allow fear to dictate and lord over our thoughts and determine God's will and direction in our life. The Scripture is clear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. There are several things in our passage that I want to bear out, and we'll look at that power, love, and sound mind in just a moment. But our first thought this morning is this: faith, not fear. That's our first thought: faith, not fear. Now, there are many scriptures that make it clear that faith is the opposite of fear. And we will look at a few of those in a moment, but for now, I want you to see the reason why that I read all the way from verses 7 down to verse 13. When we think about this spirit of fear in verse 7, sometimes we stop there, but there's more to learn about overcoming fear when we read on down through the verses that follow. The particular fear that Paul was talking to Timothy about was being afraid to identify with Christ and to identify with Paul, the servant of the Lord. You see that in verse 8, right after he says in verse 7, to not be afraid, he says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner." So the very particular fear that Paul was addressing for Timothy not to have was to be afraid to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony of our Lord, and of Paul. Now, when we are faithless and fearful, we will not identify as much as being followers of Christ and as being those of God's people. Maybe there have been times in your Christian life where you have not confessed that you are a follower of Christ as you ought, or witnessed as you ought, because you were ashamed. Or maybe you didn't identify yourself with other believers as you ought. And so we need to ask ourselves that question. Are we afraid to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we ashamed to say that He is the one we love, the one we follow, that He's our Lord? You see, fear will make you ashamed to identify with Christ and with His followers. And that's what Paul is addressing here. Now, we know fear was certainly at work, and say, well, a child of God could never do that. Well, if a child of God could never do that, why did Paul tell Timothy, a young preacher? Now, there had to have been something that Paul was sensing about Timothy. Now, sometimes we give instructions to people or our children, and they haven't done anything, but it's just kind of like a just-in-case kind of thing. So we give you some instructions. So that could be the case. And I think sometimes we think people are guilty of things in the New Testament because, well, Paul dealt with this with them. He told them not to do this, but it doesn't always mean they were doing it. So we don't really know sometimes unless they actually say they were doing it, or he says you've been doing this, because we give a lot of instructions to our children, to the people we pastor or teach, and they're not guilty of those things. So whether Timothy was guilty of it, I'm not for certain, but the possibility of Timothy being guilty of it was obviously there, and that's why Paul addressed this issue. And so he tells him to not be afraid. And so the possibility is there. Now, what I want you to notice here in the Word of God here, not only did Timothy have the possibility, but we know that Peter was afraid at some point. He did not identify with the Lord Jesus Christ or with the followers of Christ as well. Now, what I want you to see is that after Paul talks to Timothy about not fearing or being ashamed, he goes on to talk about what God had done. Now, I want you to see this because it's important in overcoming the spirit of fear and having faith. Look at verse 9 and 10. After he talks about the spirit of fear, not having it, not being ashamed to identify with Him or the Lord, he says, "Who has saved us." Now, I think the "us" there, when you look at that, we know it's plural, but I think more specifically, Paul is telling Timothy, "The Lord has saved me, and He saved you, Timothy. He has saved us." Now, when we read that, we think of ourselves, but he's writing to Timothy, "who has saved us, Timothy, and called us, Timothy, with an holy calling." And so I think he's speaking not in a general sense about all God's people, though they're applicable to us. He's talking very specifically to Timothy. Timothy, the Lord has saved us. The Lord has called us. And so there's encouragement there to not fear, I think. Now notice he says, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. So he talks about God's calling in their life in verse 9 and 10 and 11. And he reveals in verse 12, Paul does, that he knew God's plan. Notice in verse 12, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Paul knows that what they have, what Paul has, what Timothy has, is of God. God has done it all. God's own purpose, God's own power, God's own grace. And because he knows that, that even though Paul suffers, he is not ashamed. And that's what you get from the language of Paul. Remember, he told Timothy there to what? Not be thou therefore what? Ashamed. And then a little bit later there, Paul says in verse 12, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He's saying, I'm not ashamed of the Lord. But I think he's also, not only that, but he's, I'm not ashamed of you, Timothy. I'm not ashamed of you. And so he's encouraging Timothy, I think, to not be ashamed as well. Now, but why was Paul not ashamed? Why did Paul have this confidence? He makes it clear. He says, verse 12, for, he says, I'm not ashamed, verse 12, then he says, for, because I know whom I have believed. See, there's a connection between not being ashamed, which he told Timothy, and faith. That is the language of faith. He encourages Timothy to not be ashamed, for Paul was not ashamed, for he knew whom he had believed. His faith was grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore he was not ashamed. You see, faith overcomes fear. In verse 13, he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. How? He says, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now take a brief look at the faith of Paul here just for a moment. He says, for he knows, I love this, whom he had believed. His confidence was directly in the Lord, not in Paul's ability, not in anything of Paul, but his faith was in the Lord. Even when he spoke, I love this, and I think sometimes we miss this, even when Paul spoke about there in verse 12 when he says, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Even when Paul says that, oftentimes we stop there and we miss something that Paul says right after that. And because when Paul says that he is able to keep that which I have committed, well, it sounds like, well, Paul committed and the Lord's kind of helping him, right? Well, you must read on. Look at what Paul says down there in verse 14, the verse we haven't read yet. He said, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. How? By the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. So Paul's even acknowledging, even my committing is of the Lord. So it's all of him. He had faith that God had begun it in him. God had even enabled him to commit, and that God was going to see all of this through. And when you look at what Paul says in verses 9 and 10, and I'm going to need to hurry on this point here. When you look at what he said in verse 9 and 10, and you look at everything he talks about in regard to the Lord, you will find these things, and you can go back and look at them. Paul had faith in the Lord who saved him. He had faith in God's purpose and grace. He had faith in the power of God that had abolished death. You see, Paul had a faith that was grounded and founded in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, this passage no doubt shows that faith is the opposite of fear. And we can spend messages upon messages and show from the Word of God how it was faith that helped the people of God to overcome fear. I want to just look at a couple here in the New Testament. I turn to Matthew chapter 8. And actually, they didn't have the faith to overcome their fears. But I like the parallel of these in Matthew 8. And we'll look at one more in Mark. But in Matthew 8 and verse 26 says this. And we're going to read the whole context at the middle of a storm. And we'll just leave it at that. And you can go back and get familiar with it if you wish. But Matthew 8, 26. And He saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So He rebuked them for their little faith, and then He calmed the wind. Now, over in the book of Mark, in chapter 4, Mark 4, very interesting. In verse 39, this is the same incident, and in verse 39, He rebukes the wind and the sea and says, peace be still. He's already calmed the sea. Then He says unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, doing a parallel, this is the same account. Now, I remember at first, years ago, I would look at this and say, well, which did He say? He said both. He said one before He calmed the storm, and He said one after He calmed the storm. But very interesting, the one before He calmed the storm, He said, how is it you're fearful? How is it that you have little faith? So they had little faith. Then He calmed the storm. After He calmed the storm, He says, how is it that you are so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? That's to have little faith, to have no faith, that's two different things, isn't it? Listen, it is directly linked also to the Word of God that there is a direct connection between our measure of faith and our measure of fear. Matthew is fearful and has little faith. Mark is so fearful and has no faith. Our measure of fear will reveal our measure of faith. That's important to remember, because faith casts out fear. The disciples did not trust in the Lord's power. In a study of those passages, he did not trust in the Lord's power or the Lord's love for them. Listen, when we fear, we make whatever it is we fear greater than God. So you know what that means? That means that our fear becomes an idol. Something that we are putting above God. One writer said, the person characterized by a fearful heart has a propensity to make an idol of security, perfection, or looking better than they are. This person may find themselves making conscious and or unconscious statements like, will they reject me? Or, I can't risk it? Or, where is God? The person who chooses to not deal with a fearful heart may be characterized by false guilt and shame, social and or spiritual perilous, fear of man, and a shaken faith. And when you look over in the book of Revelations in 21 and verse 7 and 8, where it gives a list there of those that shall not inherit the kingdom, right there in the middle of all these terrible sins, guess what's listed? The fearful. The fearful. And let's look at that. Revelation 21 and verse 7 and 8. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And let's look at the very first thing listed. But the fearful and unbelieving. I think those are definitely connected. And the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars. Now, a lot of those sins can always be connected, in some way, and you can be guilty of one and be guilty of others at the same time. But as well, we find them listed individually. Fearful. So you see how God sees fear. You see, God takes fear personal. If my children were just afraid of me, I'd take it personal. Like, whoa, I don't like that. You know, in a bad sense. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not about a reverential. I'm talking about a fear, a torment. Fearful is the same word in Timothy, where we start, as and here in Revelation, as the same, it's the exact word translated over in Matthew and in Mark. Listen, we can still be guilty of such a sin. The other sins listed in Revelation, have not God's people in the Word of God been guilty of those other things? Yes. So I'm not saying that if you've dealt with it, if you're dealing with any fear this morning, well, you must be lost on your way to hell. That's not what I'm saying at all. But we need to understand that fear is a sin. It's a sin because it is not faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's why fear is bad, because it is the direct opposite of faith. So we can still be guilty of these things, and God's disciples obviously were, right? And sometimes our faith is stronger than at others, and at that point during that storm, He could say to some of them, "Why is it that you are fearful?" And some of them He would say, "How is it you are so fearful? And how do you have no faith? Or how do you have little faith?" So we can be guilty of it. They were guilty of it. Now, what I want to do now, though, is, of course, through faith in the Lord will help us to overcome those fears. I want to look at these three things very briefly in 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy 1:7. And we won't be long on these, because faith is the foundation of these things. Faith gives us power. Faith gives us love. And faith will give us a sound mind. So these are really the product of faith. Okay? So faith is first. Now, back to 1 Timothy 1, or 2 Timothy 1, 7, isn't it? No, am I in the wrong book or what here? 2 Timothy, yeah. I got my notes here, 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, 7. "For God is not given a spirit of fear, but of what?" We have three things listed, but of power. Power is the opposite of fear. Now, faith in whom we have believed, grounded in faith, faith in whom we have believed gives us power to overcome fears. You see, when we're fearful, we're powerless. That's what happens. People become fearful when they feel out of control, right? I mean, if a person comes at you and you feel like you cannot defend yourself, you feel powerless, what happens? You become fearful. Because you feel powerless. In Matthew 6:13. We don't need to turn to these verses. We don't have really time, but very briefly, in Matthew 6:13, in the model prayer, the sort of power, the same word is found there. It says, "Thine is the power." Same word. The power we have is of the Lord. It's the Lord. It's not a self personality thing. This power. It is a power that comes directly by faith in the Lord. Matthew 26:64 talks about Jesus Christ coming, guess what? In power. Same word. I mean, the way that word's used. When Mary received word about Jesus, that she was going to bear, she was told that she shall be overcome with power of the highest, that she'll overshadow her. Same word. The same word power is translated miracles seven times. Now, many times we simply just don't see God do great things because we do lack faith. Yeah, while at the same time, we shouldn't just want faith to see great things happen. We've seen that last night. So, but there's a balance there, isn't there? We do understand that though we shouldn't want faith just to see great things happen, you know, to cast out the trees or the mountains, at the same time, the opposite is true in regard to sometimes we don't see God do great things because we lack faith. So I think we can say both. And a passage that would show that in Matthew 13. And verse 58 says this, just one verse. "And he did not many mighty works there because of their" what? "Their unbelief." The word for power that we've been looking at is translated here, mighty works. It's the same Greek word, but it's translated mighty works here. Why did not Jesus show forth power? Their unbelief. Now, thanks be unto God, sometimes God does mighty works even when we don't believe. Right? He calmed the storm for some, didn't he? And he was able to say to them, You have no faith. So, I don't want to make it appear that God only does mighty things when we believe, because that's not true either. But at the same time, the Scriptures are clear. Sometimes God won't do mighty things because we don't believe. I think we can see both in the Word of God. So, we want to see more of God's power in our life. We must know whom we have believed. We must trust Him and His power, not ours. And that, we see this a lot of times in much of modern day charismaticism, that it appears like it's not God's power, it's their power. But anyhow, we won't go there. When we have faith in the Lord, though, we will have, I believe, greater ability to be used of God to do greater things. And we can overcome the fears that would keep us from doing those things when we have faith in Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, see, we can overcome fear because of God's Holy Spirit within us. And that Spirit gives us power. Romans 8:15 says this, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." You see, we said earlier what fear paralyzes us. Fear keeps us back. Fear keeps us from going forward. If I'm afraid to, if I'm out, there have been many times I've been out in the woods hunting and I maybe want to jump over something, a creek or whatever, and I'm trying to judge that creek a little bit. Okay, I'm getting a little older, a little fatter, I can't jump as far. And if I fear I can't make it, guess what? I don't jump. I don't go forward. You see, fear will hold you back. And this is a faith in the Lord that we're talking about, a faith that we're doing His will. But through the God's Spirit, we can overcome fears that hold us back. He says in Romans 8:15, God has not given us a spirit of bondage to hold us back, again, to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, when we talked yesterday about that need of needing to know who we are in Christ, that we are His child. And when we have faith in that, faith, we overcome fear. Not the spirit. We have the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. John said, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." You see, Satan would have us to fear, to be unbelieving, so that we would be paralyzed and we would panic. But when we have faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will see more power of God and be empowered to go forward in God's will in our life. Now, secondly, the Lord has not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Just as power is the opposite of fear, so is love that is empowered by faith. Love is the opposite of fear. Love will overcome fear. We must have faith in God's love for us, and that will help us to overcome fear and will help us to love others. See, as we are confident in Christ's love, we will be able to show God's love for other people. Our lack of love for others actually reveals our lack of faith in Christ's love for ourselves. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But is it true? Turn to 1 John chapter 4. As we are confident in Christ's love, we will be able to show love, that love, more for others. And our lack of love for others reveals our lack of faith in Christ's love for ourselves. 1 John 4, verse 18, "There is no fear in love." What does 2 Timothy 1:7 say? God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. So I want to deal with the fears in my life. I still deal with fear. I still get afraid of people. I get afraid to talk to people. But what is it that's going to help me to overcome that fear? Well, first, faith. Faith and love. Faith in the One whom I believe and confidence in Him and pray to God to give me more love for the individual. Because love for the individual will help you to overcome the fear of the individual. We fear a lot of people today. Right? I mean, how many of us are going to go up to a Muslim and talk to them about Jesus Christ? Kind of fearful, right? Love will overcome that. Love will overcome that. A lot of people are acting out of fear today. We're so afraid of all the things that are going to happen, that may happen, and this may happen. If the love of God consumes us, I tell you, like it ought and like it should, we'll be talking on the opposite end. How we can love them, how we can reach them, how we can share the gospel. See, the Word of God says we love because He first loved us. He says there in verse 18, because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. It's so simple. It's so simple. We love because He first loved us. It's God's love for us that enables us to love other people. And if we don't have it, then we can't give it. And then if we don't bask in it and have faith in it, then how can we overcome our fears in our life? 1 John 4, there in verse 13, look what he says. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us. Because He hath what given us of what? His Spirit. What Spirit is He talking about? One of the Spirits He's talking about is the Spirit of the love. Love overcomes fear, right? As we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, he in God. And we have known and believed what? The love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. You see how all is connected? See the connection between believing the love that God has for us and being able to love other people and not be, if you would, overcome with fear of them. The more we trust and believe in God's love for us, the more perfectly grounded we are in God's love, then we will have the less fear of other people. Here's the bottom line. When we fear others, we don't love them. When we fear others, we don't love them. Perfect love casteth out fear. Now, I'm not saying you don't love many, because there are different measures of faith, isn't there? Faith that gives us love. So there's different measures of love. We just don't love them enough. Might fear them a little bit. Sometimes we fear a little bit, sometimes we fear a lot. Why? Because our love is a little bit. Our love is nearly none. I think sometimes we don't see the connection of being faithless and unloving at the same time. But they're directly connected. I love this quote. It says, fear is selfish. Fear is selfish. And listen to why. It says, because it's about protecting myself. My feelings, my stuff, rather than asking how I could heartily show love to God and others. Love reaches out to give and to meet the needs of another. But fear focuses on what I might lose, making me move away from the problem. Love causes me to work toward solutions, even when I don't really feel like doing it. Fear makes my world grow smaller and smaller as I seclude, hesitate, and self-protect. Love is so powerful, it can cast out my fear when I allow God's love to flow in me and through me. That's the truth. As we know God's love for us and have faith in it, then fear will be removed more and more and more from our life. And then lastly, God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Paul said that God had not given him the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. More faith in Christ, as our faith in Christ grows, we will grow with a sound mind. What does he say there in 1 John when we read, fear has what? Torment. Torment. Why do we have fear? We don't have faith. Faith in Christ gives peace, not fear. Paul was not afraid of what he would suffer and was not tormented of the possibilities of what may happen because he knew whom he had believed. Now, I won't dwell here long. We're bringing this to a close. I think we know that fear is not a sound mind. But I can't help but think of the man that was possessed with the demons and there before Christ and it says there that Christ cast out the demons, and the Word of God says that he was sitting there next to Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. You know why? Christ had given him faith. Fear will drive you crazy. Faith will make you calm. I want to close with one more quote. These were just some good quotes I'd found, and I hate to not use them because they say it well. This quote is by David Tripp. He said this, "Fear can overwhelm your senses. It can distort your thinking. It can kidnap your desires. It can capture your meditation so that you spend more time worrying about what could be than considering the God who is. Fear can cause you to make bad decisions in the short term and fail to make good decisions in the long run. Fear can cause you to forget what you know and to lose sight of who you are. Fear can make you wish for control you will never have. It can cause you to distrust people you have reason to trust. It can cause you to be demanding rather than serving. It can cause you to run when you should stay and to stay when you really should run. Fear can make God look small and your circumstance loom large. Fear can make you seek from people what you can only get from the Lord." I like that. I mean, fear is a terrible, terrible spirit. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. How do we have that power, love, and sound mind? It is grounded in faith in Christ. I know whom I have believed. You want to overcome fear? May God give us more faith. Increase our faith. Just as a brother preached last night. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'd increase our faith, that we might overcome our fears, that we might be blessed with more power, more ability, more love, and a sound mind. Lord, help us, we pray. Help me, Lord, to grow in faith, that power, love, and a sound mind would be mine more and more and more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Brother Wayne, come ahead, please.